And well, it is, again, it is so wonderful to see everybody out on this Wednesday night. It is hot out there.
Yeah,
I think it was about 99 degrees when we got here. So the heat has finally arrived for the summer for the past couple of weeks, and it is not going anywhere. So, but the Lord gave us snow when we asked for it. So we just have to deal with everything else that comes with the changing of the seasons. But we just thank Him for everything that He sends our way. But it has been a good week for me. I hope it's been the same for you guys. Everybody's been having a really good week with work and everything, and everybody's been staying pretty busy. But I hope everybody's had a good week thus far. But if you will turn your Bibles with me this evening, we'll be in a lot of different places. But we'll start out in Psalm 119. The little study we're doing here tonight is just entitled Becoming Like Christ. Again, it's another one of those, one of our studies we went through during our power hour with our teens and things like that. One of the ones I was teaching, one of the ones that really stuck out to me. It was a lot of really good material, a lot of really good resources there. But just been going through a couple of them that really stuck out to me, that I really enjoyed going over, and wanted to share them with you tonight. But if you're there, Psalm 119, we'll look down in verse number, we'll be down in verse number 9 here in just a moment. But just looking as kind of introduction to the lesson here, in becoming like Christ, and that Satan will do everything within his power to defeat a Christian by attacking his mind. All Satan needs to do is to get us so preoccupied with trivial things that we don't have time to think about the Lord. Both God and Satan know the importance of the mind. Whatever we think about, we become. Thus, if we keep our minds on the Lord, we will become like Him. This is why Satan continually besieges our mind through television, our friends, sports, parties, games, fun, entertainment, and a thousand other things to keep us from meditating in God's Word. It is our job to become mighty through God, for only then can we cast down Satan's strongholds and have spiritual victory. So how is this done? Well, it's done by meditating in God's Word. And the bottom line to victory in the Christian life is in meditation and meditating in the Word of God. In fact, we have 5 basic spiritual needs in life, and all 5 needs can be met through meditation in God's Word. So man's 5 basic spiritual needs are the ones we're going to be looking at here tonight, and just pointing them out. And if you're taking notes, you can write each one of these down as we go through them. I had a paper I was going to print out, but just didn't get a chance to get the whole that whole printout done for you tonight. So you can just write it down there on a piece of paper if you want them. But believers have 5 basic spiritual needs, and all 5 needs can be met through proper meditation. So, like I said, the material I was going to have there for you, you could write them out through. We don't have tonight, but you can just take note. The five basic needs of man, and each need, there's a passage of scripture for each need in our lives. God has something in the Word of God to meet each situation and every need that we have, but not all scripture is applicable to every situation we face. You can't just pull any scripture out and make it apply to something you're going through in life. So God has particular scripture for our lives and for the things we're going through. And we're going to look at different things and how we find those things and how we become more like Christ in our lives as we go through these. But God has scripture that's specifically focused to meet particular needs in our lives. So the first one here, the first need of our lives, is that we need victory over sin. So how do we overcome sin and temptation? Well, the answer is found in Psalm 119, which is our verse we're going to kind of start out in here tonight. Looking at verses number 9 and 11, we see here in verse number 9, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" And he follows it up there by saying, "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." So this, David writes a question, and then he answers it in the same verse, but he's putting it to them. Well, a lot of people have that question. Well, how can someone do the right thing? How can a young man cleanse his way? How can someone walk in the right way? And he says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word, the word of God, taking heed to the scriptures, getting in the scriptures and studying the scriptures to see and to find the answers to those spiritual needs that we have. But you do it by getting in the word of God. And then verse 11 there says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. So by meditating in God's word, that's how we get victory over sin. So, however, not just any verse in the Bible will give me victory over sin. For example, John 3:16, while a great verse, doesn't exactly help someone if they're dealing with a bad temper, for example. But Ecclesiastes 10:12, and you can turn there if you will. There's going to be a lot of turning, like I said, so I printed out most of the verses here so we didn't have to do so much turning. But Ecclesiastes 10, verse number 12 says, "The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself." So there are particular verses that apply to particular things. So that verse there in Ecclesiastes is a great help when we're tempted to just spout off or say something rashly or just out of a bad temper. When we just get pushed to our limit right there, that verse can be a help for us. But you don't find that kind of a verse if you're not studying the Word of God. Unless you're looking in the Word of God for things to help you, unless you're wanting to find help in the Word of God to help you with these things and become more like Christ, you're not going to find it. But God does have these things in His Word all throughout Scripture to help us there, to help us with each situation we're dealing with, whether it be dealing with a coworker or dealing with different personal spiritual battles. God has something in His Word that can help us with each and every situation like that. But there are special verses that deal with specific sin in our lives. So these verses we call weapon verses. There are different weapons or weapon verses for different sins. As I meditate in the Word, I discover these various weapons or weapon verses and am able to add them to my spiritual armory for use against specific sin I may face in the future. So we need victory over sin in our Christian life to be more like Christ, but we also need wisdom in decision-making. And the things that when we're faced with something difficult, we need to have the Scripture there. So throughout life, we face many critical moments in which decisions are crucial to our future. If we make the wrong decision, it will send us down a road to defeat. If we make the right decision, it will give us lifelong happiness. The problem is that at the time we make the decision, we have no idea what the end result will be. For example, Lot had to decide between keeping his flock in Canaan or moving to the fertile plain of Jordan. Lot surveyed the land, made what he thought was the smart choice, and lived to regret it. His decision was unwise, although he thought it to be a very best decision. It ruined his life. So, in the example here, I mean, there's decisions we're faced with each and every day. We're faced with choices at each and every turn of life. Some are small, some are big, and some will have short consequences. Some have long-lasting consequences, and those consequences can be good or bad in our life, depending on the choices we make. But we're not always going to know what choice we should make. There are going to be some things in life we're going to come to and be like, well, I don't know. Like in the case with Lot, I mean, he had the choice of staying in Canaan and Abraham would leave the land of Lot. Or he could go down, he surveyed the land, the valley there in Jordan, and saw that it was good and it looked good. I mean, it was going to be good for his family. And so he made that choice to leave Lot and to go down, or to leave Abraham and to go to somewhere that looked pleasing and looked like it would be good for his family, it would be prosperous for him. But we see that situation, that decision, ended up ruining his life and his testimony and his family. And we know the end result there in that story and how the life of Lot ended up and the consequences for that decision, which were bad consequences. So there are things we're going to face in life we're not going to really know what to do. So we can either make the decision by looking over them and seeing what looks best to us, but then we've got Scripture to help us make those wise choices. So how do we make wise choices when we can't see the end from the beginning? So we do that by meditating on certain specific types of verses in the Bible. Again, not all of God's Word was written to tell me what to do in a particular situation. But some of God's Word does give me special advice. In Psalm 119, verse number 24, just down the page there a little bit, says, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." So we see here that Psalm 119, verse 24, tells us that God's testimonies are our counselors. Note the plural form of counselor used here. And that is, for every decision you will ever have to make in life, there is a particular verse somewhere in the Bible that will give us perfect advice. The problem is, how do you find that verse? by looking for principles in the Word. So principles are found throughout the Bible and provide wisdom for decision making. So we need victory over sin in our life as our first need. Secondly, we need wisdom in our decision making. Thirdly, we need to be able to live above our circumstances. Excuse me. So some people are controlled by their circumstances. They have not learned, as Paul did, to be content no matter what their situation. They're referencing that, you know, where Paul writes, I believe it's to Timothy, and maybe in 1 Timothy, I believe, where he writes that and I'm probably going to mess it up, I'll paraphrase, but he says, whatever state I am in, I have learned therewith to be content. Paul came to the point that no matter what circumstances were going on in his life, no matter what was going on around him, no matter what he was going through, he was going to be content because he knew that the Lord had a will and a purpose for those situations. And so Paul came to a place where he was living above the circumstances. He wasn't just stuck in those, because Paul could easily, we know that he had a thorn in his flesh, and we don't know exactly what it was. Some people speculate that it might have been his eyesight, and Paul could have just given up whenever, when you lose your eyesight, it's hard to write, it's hard to do pretty much anything. You have to have help for most things when you're losing your eyesight, when you can't see well. They didn't have glasses back in those days, so, I don't have to wear them yet, but someday I might. I know my dad does. People have to have help when their vision gets blurry, but back then they didn't have that option. And so Paul could have just chosen to just give up and be done, choose to be at the end of his ministry, but no, he continued to carry on no matter what happened. And you see that a few of his letters were written by other people on behalf of Paul. I don't believe that's why some people speculate that it was his eyesight that was going. But we know that we can live above our circumstances. We don't have to get stuck in the certain situation that we're in. There may be things coming in life, but we can live above that through the Word of God and through the peace of Christ and in His grace. So if things are going well, they're happy. If things are not going smoothly, they're sad people that get stuck and get caught up. And really, they're ready to quit when things don't go the way that they're wanting to, when things start to go bad. But they can't rise above their circumstances. A lot of people who are not in the Word of God or who are lost, we see it each and every day. People that get caught up in the things going on in their life and they just quit. They give up something they go through a hardship or something, and a lot of people just decide to quit no matter what it may be. Maybe something small, maybe something large. But not everyone, a majority of people, don't carry on when things really get difficult. When something really starts to go wrong, they look for another job or they look for somewhere else to go, and they look for something different when things get difficult. And it's hard for them to carry on, because what hope do they have? What else do they have to turn to when everything's going bad in their life? But we as Christians, we have a hope. We have something that we can look to. We have the joy because we have Christ living within us if we're saved. So we have a reason to carry on. We can be happy and live above our circumstances no matter what's going on in our life, no matter the battles or struggles or hardships we're facing in life. We can live above that because we have something that is above that. We have a God that's above that, who's watching over us and cares for us and is looking out for us. So we can live above our circumstances here through the Word of God. And then Psalm 119, verses 71 and 71 and 81 here. Says in verse number 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And then verse 81 says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. So in those verses, those relate to this. So David faced affliction. What it was, we don't know. Maybe he was sick. Perhaps he's referring to the problem with his son Absalom. Maybe it was the death of one of his sons, or the constant threat of his life from Saul. Whatever it was, it didn't get David down. He actually thanked God for the affliction. Why? Because first of all, it drove him to the Word. We see that in verse number 71 where it says, it's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. So we see that through this, it drove David to the Word of God. And secondly, it made him hope in, or depend on the word. In verse number 81 there, we see that my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. So what do you do when you're when you face a difficult situation? Do you go to the word? And if you wanted to, would you know how to or how to go to the word to get what you needed to lift you above or over the difficult situation? Do you fall down and cry, give up, get mad, worry and fret over your problems? Or do you have joy and victory over them? So how do I overcome my circumstances? So by meditating on promises in the Bible. Promises are unlike principles and weapons. They are designed for difficult situations. Through meditation, you will discover and use these promises to get victory in your life. So we've seen the first three. We've seen that we need victory over sin. We see that we need wisdom and decision making. We need to live above our circumstances. But fourthly here, we need to have conquering faith. So life requires faith. It takes faith to tithe, faith to trust God when we can't understand our circumstances, faith to make decisions that will affect our future, faith to choose a college, and faith to say no when we know we'll be mocked or rejected. It takes faith to make a lot of decisions. In my personal life, I mean, it took faith for my parents to come to Utah, to leave everything that was there in North Carolina. A lot of people would look at it and see it as, I mean, crazy. And to a point, I mean, we had a wonderful church and I loved the people there, and we loved the people there, but we knew this is where God wanted us to be and this is where God needed us to be. And so by faith, my parents trusted God and started deputation, stepped down, left the church, and we came to Utah by faith. And through all of deputation, watching how God worked everything out, helped my faith throughout all of that, seeing the doors God opened and closed, and how God worked through all of it. Even being here in Utah, the place we've been given here, the people we've been allowed to meet, and God has crossed paths, allowed us to cross paths with, and brought here, it encourages and helps me, because it shows that God does have a plan for everything, and I can trust Him, and I can have faith in Him, because He's proven Himself time and time again in my own life, and I hope He has in yours, and you acknowledge those things that God has done for you. Looking back over our lives, sometimes it's easy to get caught up and just get tunnel vision on the future and things going on, and we forget to look back and look at the grace and mercy God's had on our life and shown towards us throughout our entire life, and the little things that maybe we didn't notice at the time, but looking back, we can see now that God did have a purpose and a plan for those things. Right now, Brother Charlie, with Miss Vicky, we don't know why the surgery keeps on being postponed and why they keep on pushing everything out, but I'm sure God's got a purpose for it. And we have to trust Him for that. And eventually, down the road, we'll see the reason. We'll understand why. But right now, it's unclear. So we have to have faith during this time that God does have a reason and a purpose and a plan for everything that's going on right now. But how do we get such faith? So Asaph tells us in Psalm 77, verses 2 and 3, and we're going to be looking at several verses here, so if you want to turn over to just a few pages, Psalm chapter number 77, or Psalm 77, not chapter, but Psalm 77 here. Psalm 77, verses 2 and 3 says, "In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sword ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah." And then we jump down just to verses number 5 and 6, where it says, "I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my sight made diligent search." Sorry. And then verses 10 through 12. Verses 10 down through 12 says, "And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doing. So here we see that Asaph is talking, or tells us here in this, in these verses here in Psalm, that his faith comes from his trust in God, his remembering that God had, or what God had done in his life. We see that he mentions several times here in all those verses we just read that he remembers and he looks back. Psalm Asaph, he's reviewing the things that have gone on in his life, and he rejoices in the things that God has done. So he's remembering what God had done in the times past. And we see that in verse number 5 there, where it says, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. Asaph is remembering the things that have happened in his life. He's going back and looking back at the things and the providences God worked out in his life. And he's remembering the miracles and the mighty deeds of God in his own life and in the lives of the others in the past. And we see that when we read down there verses 10 through 12, where he said, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also in all the works and talk of thy doings. So what are these deeds Asaph is remembering? So they are what we call providences. Asaph, through meditation, had discovered many great providences of God in the lives of others and in his own life. And when hard times came, he had faith to come, to continue, because he knew God had saved in the past, and that the God of the past was the God of the present. Thus, his meditation on providences had given him conquering faith. We see that he could rejoice by looking back and seeing what had gone on in times past, looking at the records of old, but also in his own life, looking back in his own life. And that was another thing we've gone over. I feel like it wasn't too long ago, but it's probably been several weeks. But looking at the providences of God, there are several providences we can look at in our lives. We can look at the providences of God in our lives. We can look at the providences of God in the Scripture and the things that he did in the lives of different individuals. In Sunday school, we've been going over the life of Joseph, and looking at the providence of God in the workings in Joseph's life, and how when Joseph got thrown into the pit by his brothers, they were going to kill him, and then he got sold into slavery. All of those things seemed horrible. He got sold into Potiphar's house, and he's there, and he finally rises to a higher position there, and things are going a little bit better. He's still in slavery, but things are getting better. Then he gets lied about and thrown into prison. And all of these circumstances, it would have been so easy for Joseph to get discouraged in all of that. But God was working in it. And Joseph had faith through all of those things that happened in his life. Joseph had faith and continued to believe that God had a purpose for it all. And he trusted God. And through that, we see that in the end, God worked everything out just like he had planned to. And Joseph was over all of Egypt. And God made a way to care for his family and to make a way for the children, what would become the children of Israel and the nation of Israel, and to preserve their people, because we see that the whole land was in a state of famine. No one had any food. Jacob had sent his other sons, his oldest sons, down to Egypt because they had food. They were the only place that they could get food for, because God had sent Joseph there to prepare it all. And Joseph had faith in all of that. And so we see that we can look at those providences in the lives of people in Scripture and how God used things in their lives. We can also look at the things throughout history in our own nation and in recent years, how God has worked things out, especially with the founding of our nation, the things that God has done for us and how he's blessed us, and the things that he's worked out, and the things that only God could have done throughout history. We can see those things. And they give us strength, they give us encouragement, they give us faith, and they strengthen our faith, and we can grow through that. So we can have conquering faith when we look at the things God has done for us and study in his word and see the things, the providences that he's worked in our own lives and in Scripture and in the lives of people. But fifthly, and the last one here, is that we need godly character. So how do we become godly? The answer is simple. If we focus on God, we will become like him. This we saw in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. You can turn over there if you'd like to. I'm just going to say, but most of this printed out here, so it saves a little bit of time. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." So, thus, to develop godly character, we must focus on the person of God. We have now seen five basic spiritual needs in our lives, and each of them is met by focusing on a different aspect of the Word of God. Weapons, principles, promises, providences, and the person of God. So we've seen how we look at these things. We've seen the different needs we have in our own spiritual walk with God, in our own lives, to make us more like Christ, and the things that we need in our lives. And we know how we can find these things in Scripture. We review those, and how do we have victory over sin? Well, there's Scripture, particular Scripture, that can help us. And sins don't always have to be the ones that you don't talk about, or the horrible things. They can be simple things that just take priority in our life. But there's Scripture that can help us overcome those things, get past, whether it be addiction, whether it be just misplacing or mismanaging our time or funds, things like that. I mean, there are so many different things that we should be watching and taking care of to use properly the time and resources that God has given us. And if we don't, it would be sin if we wasted the things that God has given us. The parable comes to mind of the servants who were given the talents by their master, and the ones that were given little came back and they had done better with it. But the one that had one to give, and rather than trying to make it better for his master, doing something with it, he took it and buried it. And so when his master came back, he just had what he'd been given to at the beginning. He hadn't done anything or made any benefit or profit with what he had been given by the master. And we've all been given certain spiritual gifts and certain things that we can do. So what are we doing with those things for Christ? And so different things we can look at in our own lives just to consider. How are we living our lives? And are we living a life like Christ? Are we struggling? Are we falling short of the things that we've gone over here with our victory over sin? With our wisdom and our decision making, are we making wise choices? Are we looking at the Scripture when we go to make a decision? Are we able to live above our circumstances? What is the condition of our faith? And these are things we all have to ponder personally within our own hearts and lives. It's not something I can answer or anybody else can answer for you. You know the condition of your own heart and your own personal walk with Christ. And so you have to look at these things and look at yourself and examine your own heart and see where you are at in your walk with Christ and what things need to be corrected. And are we meditating on the Word of God? Are we searching daily? And there's a difference between reading your Bible and studying your Bible. You can read your Bible daily, but not study it. You can read it just to check off a box, just to mark through it. And we're reading through the Bible, or we have the Bible schedules here, so you can go through the Bible in a year. And that's great if you can read through your Bible in a year. That's wonderful. But are you getting anything out of the Bible when you're reading it? That's the most important thing. Is when we're reading our Bible, it's not how far we get in a year, but how much are we getting from it throughout the course of the year? How much are we growing? How much are we gaining from the Word of God as we study it, as we look at it, rather than just reading over a few verses and saying, well, I got that done for today, you know, I'm good to go throughout my day, I'm going to keep on going. Or are we looking for something? Are we looking for God to give us something from His Word and searching in His Word? Are we studying the Word of God and meditating in it so that we can grow in our walk with Him and our faith, so we can have wisdom in the Word of God and have these things that when we do face a struggle, when we do come to a point in a circumstance in our life that's hard, when we come and we're facing a sin within our own life and we confront that, do we have the Scripture and are we close enough with God that we can gain victory over that and continue through that and turn to the Word of God for those things in our own life? And like I said, those are things that you have to look at and examine in your own personal heart and life and your own walk with Christ, because no one knows your heart except you and God, and you're the only ones that can know where you truly are. And you can fool everyone around you, but unless it has to be real within your heart, because God knows and you know, and you have to live with that. And I hope you realize that God does know. God's not fooled. Everyone around you can be fooled by how you look and the things that you're doing, but God knows the true condition of your heart. And I hope that we're all living in a way that God will be pleased and honored with. But it's a constant and daily struggle that we have to face and go through, because the Christian life is a battle. It is something we're going to have to face, as Daddy preached on Sunday morning, just in the verses there where Christ is talking to Paul, well, not Paul, but to Peter, and says that Satan hath the desire thee that he might sift you as wheat. Peter's faith was great, and he said, Master, I'll never forsake you. I'll never deny you. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But he's going to be with them till the end. But because of his faith, Satan was going to come after Peter and was going to shake up his world and was going to, he desired to have him that he could sift him as wheat, that he could shake him up. And so do we have the faith in God that when we go through those things, when we face those trials and those struggles, that if we're serving God, are going to come our way, because the devil hates it when we do serve God. But are we in a position where when we do face those things, we can turn to Scripture, we can turn to God with our troubles, with our struggles and our trials, and find strength, find victory, and overcome through those things? But one last thing here, in how to meditate in God's Word, but we're going to conclude this lesson by looking at the last basic principle, spiritual need. So we develop character by meditating on the person of God. So how do we meditate on God in His Word? We are not to focus on the Word of God, but we are to focus on the God of the Word. There's a difference. We can read the story of David and Goliath and learn all the facts in the story and miss the whole point. The Bible is not written to tell us about David and Goliath, but to tell us about David's God. Have you ever read the story and concentrated just on God in the story? That's what we mean by focusing on God. And that's kind of what I was talking about earlier. I mean, we can look at the Bible and just read over it, or we can study it and actually try to get something from it and actually see what's actually happening and look at what God is doing in His Word. And I've got here with me just a few pages just to print out here. I'll have them sitting up front here if you want one. But it's just kind of a simple guide. You don't have to use it if you don't want to. But just to kind of help you when you're breaking down a verse, it's called Focus on God here. But it just has a few spaces on it for you to write down what God's doing in a passage of Scripture. What God is, what we see, how God acts. So it's just kind of a guide to kind of kickstart you if you want to use it. So I know for me, if I don't have something and I say I'm going to get to it eventually, I'm probably not going to, because I'm going to keep on forgetting and putting it off. So if I have something and I have a resource readily available to me that's already been set up and all I have to do is fill in the blank, it's a lot easier and I'm more likely to actually get it done and follow along with it. But just to help us as we study the Word of God and as we go through it, to just kind of slow us down a little bit, to pause, take more time to actually consider what's going on in a Scripture. And you can make copies of this. You can use it as just kind of something to maybe kickstart your own template that you want to create, or your own study that you want to start, how you want to go about that. But just to help us get started, maybe you already are, but maybe if you're not, to help us grow more on a walk with Christ and in His Word, and studying on the Word of God more. Actually taking time to slow down and think about what God is saying in His Word and what's actually happening, what He wants us to gain from that, and to help us to grow through that. But I'll have those up here. I've got just a few copies of that if you want it. But you can do whatever Scripture. You can take your favorite passage of Scripture. You can just take, maybe you come across something in your reading that you're like, well, this kind of stuck out to me, and so you want to take a little more time and break it down. It's just a resource, like I said. Use it if you want to. You don't have to, but I find it or found it helpful when we're going through it, and I failed to do it as much as I should. And I'm probably not alone in that, but I know that I need work in it as much as anybody else, if not more so, when it comes to studying the Bible and getting into it daily and trying to gain something from God and grow in my walk with Him, because God wants us to grow closer to Him each and every day, but it has to be our choice. We have to initiate it. We have to choose to walk with Him. And it's a voluntary thing. It's not forced upon us. It's a decision we have to make freely to walk with God so we can have the victory over our sins that we're struggling with, that we know we want the victory, but sometimes it's hard to get. Well, we get that when we turn to Christ. If we're struggling with something, we're down in the dumps, we're going through something hard, well, you can overcome that through the joy of the Lord and through the Scripture. And I'm not going to go over the whole thing all over again, but just something there to help you. But I hope the lesson has been an encouragement to you and a blessing to you. Like I said, it was one of many that really stuck out to me in our time going through it over the summer, and just studying the Word of God, learning how to draw closer and how to walk closer with Him each and every day. But I pray that that is your prayer and your desire in your own life, is to draw closer to Christ and grow your walk with Him. But let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank You. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I thank You for its power. Lord, I thank You for Your love for us, Lord, and how much You care for us and long to have a relationship with us, Lord, personally, Lord. Lord, that we could know You, Lord, that we could walk with You, Lord, and hear from You, Lord, personally, Lord, through Your Word. Lord, we thank You so much, Lord, for how good You are to us. Lord, help us as we go through our week, Lord, throughout each and every day, Lord, that we would look and search Your Word, Lord, so that we could grow in You. Lord, grow in our victory, so that we could obtain the victory that we need each and every day in the battles that we face. Lord, that we could have the conquering faith, Lord. Lord, in order to get through situations, Lord, and just to trust You. Lord, that we would be able to live in the peace no matter what's going on around us, Lord, that we would be able to trust You. Lord, we'd be able to focus on You, Lord, that Your joy would be full in us. Lord, help us, Lord, as we walk daily. Lord, we need You. We need You new each and every morning, Lord, and each and every day, Lord. We need Your strength. Lord, I pray You to be with us, Lord, as we go our separate ways this evening. Lord, I pray You to help us. Lord, I pray the lesson has helped someone here tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray that You would use it in each of our hearts and lives. Lord, we just thank You and praise You for all that You've done, all that You are, all that You're going to do. Lord, in Jesus' precious name.